Hi, this is Miss Melis, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub. So, day 8 of the Dog Days of Podcasting is almost over, and I'm just now recording something. It wasn't that I didn't want to do something last night, it's that for the last 3 days I have been really, really drugged out of my skull on migraine medicine. The prescription migraine medicine that I've had to take, more than one dose a day of for the first time in a year, has a hefty amount of barbiturates in it. And I don't react well when I have to take more than two pills. It makes me bitchy, basically. It makes me bitter and antagonistic, and it makes me loopy and confused. And on top of all the other things that have been going on in my house in the last week, I just couldn't get it together enough to do anything. I went to bed before midnight, which I never do. And so I'm finally recording right now. So this is a story. It's part three of a series that I've been writing in Modern Creative Life for about a year. You all actually heard the first part back in 2013 called Steeping. And it's about a couple that meet in a tea shop, and each section progresses their relationship a little bit further. There are other parts that I have not published in Modern Creative Life that I'm saving for a bigger project. But this is part three, and it is stewing. David had his laptop set up on the kitchen table, where he was transcribing his latest poems into a word processing program, when Sarah draped her arms over his shoulders, hugging him from behind. "Dinner's about ready," she said. "How much more time do you need?" 10 minutes? He made it a question. "Perfect." She kissed him on the cheek. "Are you putting my poem in the book?" An editor had approached him after his last open mic night and suggested he publish a collection. "I am," he confirmed, "but only if you let me have my 10 more minutes. He was only half kidding. Laughing, Sarah pulled away from him and disappeared into the kitchen. It was actually closer to 20 minutes before they finally sat down to eat, and after tasting her baked salmon, Sarah wrinkled her nose. "It's too dry," she complained. "It stayed in the oven too long." David disagreed. "Seems fine to me." "No, it's much too dry, and the green beans are mushy." "You're too critical," David said. "It tastes fine." "I didn't want it to be fine," Sarah snapped, though the look on her face made it clear that she hadn't meant to speak quite so sharply. In a more neutral tone, she continued, "I wanted it to be good. It's my last day of work until the holidays are over, and I wanted things to feel festive." She gestured to the floral centerpiece and the lit candles. "Special." "Sweetie, it's fine. It's special just because you cooked and we're eating together." When Sarah remained quiet, her hands folded in her lap, David continued, "There's something you're not telling me, isn't there? You know my company has a cabin up at the Pine Lake Resort, right?" David nodded. Sarah had mentioned the cabin many, many times. "Well, every year the person who's funded the most loans gets to use it for the holidays, and this year that person was me. I thought we could go shopping for supplies tomorrow or Sunday and then head up on Monday morning when the traffic won't be bad. It's all decorated. The staff takes care of that." She unfolded her hands and brushed her hair out of her face, revealing bright eyes and a hopeful smile. "We could spend Christmas snowed into a romantic mountain cabin." David pushed his plate away. "Ah, I wish you'd told me sooner, Sarah." "I only found out today. Is there a problem?" "I always spend the holidays with my family. I just assumed you'd come too." Even in the dim light of the candles, it was clear that Sarah's face had turned pale. "You mean with your parents, right?" "Yeah, with my parents, but also my brother and sister and their kids and my aunts and uncles," and David finally realized that his partner wasn't enthusiastic about his plan. "You don't want to go?" His tone was flat when he spoke the words. "I can't," she said. She rose from the table and carried her plate full of unfinished food back to the kitchen. "Look, I'm sure you can reschedule the cabin," David suggested, following her with his own empty plate and all the cutlery. Or we can rent one. Take a long weekend in January or February." "You should have asked me," Sarah told him, flicking the faucet lever upward and to the left to start the hot water flowing. But her sentences remained incomplete, and when the dishes were done, she simply repeated, "You should have asked me," before she fled through the bedroom to the master bath, where she locked the door against him. By the time Sarah emerged from her bath with damp hair and pink skin, David had returned to his transcription. When she tried to engage him in conversation, he ignored her. The weekend had been spent in tense silence, punctuated by two brief conversations. By Monday morning, Sarah had reconfirmed the cabin for Valentine's Day, and David had completed typing his poems and sent them off to his editor for approval. By Monday afternoon, they were packed and in the car, driving north up the peninsula and across the Golden Gate Bridge. Neither spoke much during the drive. Half an hour from his parents' home in Inverness, David stopped the car next to a mobile home painted with the name Knave of Hearts. "We're almost there," he said. "Are you done stewing? Can you tell me why you're so upset about this trip?" He gestured to the trailer. "These people make the best currant scones in the entire West Coast. I'm not above bribing you." He waggled his eyebrows at her. Sarah smiled in spite of herself. "Do they serve decent tea?" "More than decent." "Fine." The coastal air was damp and brisk, but inside the trailer, the oven kept things toasty. Sarah settled onto one of the three stools fixed before the tiny diner counter, while David ordered cups of English breakfast tea served in handmade ceramic mugs with no handles, and a basket of scones. Plied with tea and baked goods, Sarah opened up. "I'm an only child," she reminded him. "It was just me and Mom for most of my life. I have no idea how to be part of a family. I'm too quiet. I'd rather read than watch sports. What if I say the wrong thing? What if they hate me?" David's eyes were warm and his smile was gentle as he assured her, "They could never hate you. You're the woman I love. More than that, you're my muse. They're dying to meet you."
"Great, no pressure," Sarah snarked.
"Sarah, I promise, they're really great people. But what if it's just too much? If you get overwhelmed, just excuse yourself and go out to the deck or up to our room. I'll come with you if you need me to." She took a deep breath. "Okay," she said. "Okay," she repeated a moment later. "So you're not mad at me anymore?" Sarah smiled around another bite of scone. She made a show of chewing and swallowing, then sipping more of her tea before she responded. "I'm not mad." She reached for his chin and tickled him beneath the goatee he'd begun sporting. "I might even let you sleep with me in your childhood bedroom." His laughter repaired the last of the hurt and confusion that had been lingering between them. Both of them were done stewing. Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is written by Melissa A. Bartell under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike International 4.0 license and is produced using Bostock and Audacity. For show notes, music credits, and transcripts, please visit www.bathtubmermaid.com. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or you can send an email to Miss Meliss, M-I-S-S-M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, @gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.